games people play, the Alan Parsons Project. And obviously, as we're heading round to the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, and obviously the festival of Halloween and so on, you might well say there'll be lots of games being played. And who better to actually share with us some thoughts and contemplations and cogitations on our kind of habits and fears and top 10 phobias of children and adults than the true wonderful legend, Dr. Angela Mutanda. Dr. Angela, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Fantastic stuff. Good to connect with your good self. And not at all scary, which is wonderful. So this particular sort of evidence that we've actually got here, I mean, as the nation obviously goes in to celebrate Halloween, it's whatever we might think about, oh, it's an American festival that's been translated, suddenly kind of fears are actually up there, and fears for both children and adults.
Yes, and Sky Movies Disney commissioned this survey, which came up with the Fear Factor Index, which I...
It's Toy Story of Terror!
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think what was fascinating for me was the top three fears for British children. The first one you'd expect, you know, spiders and bugs, 25%, and the dark, 23%, but being bullied at school, 22%, and that did surprise me.
I was particularly interested in the spiders one because I noticed that we had children from the West Midlands up to the top, and we actually have a student who is from the West Midlands who, indeed, Matt, you said you were afraid of spiders.
Yeah, I'm very scared of spiders.
Must be something to do with the West Midlands there. You know, even as a student, a journalism student, he's still got that fear, Angela, but never mind.
Well, the thing about spiders as well and the dark, I think this is a leftover from our ancestors. You know, evolutionary psychologists believe that, you know, we still have that kind of hard wiring when we were hunter-gatherers. You know, we had to rely on our senses, spiders, knowing what was poisonous, what was going to, you know, what was safe at the dark as well. We didn't have street lighting and double glazing. So we were primed to look out for these things. And anxiety, actually, is part of being human. And it's actually there to protect us from danger, because if you weren't alert, anything could happen to you. So you wouldn't have that kind of fight or flight reaction. So I think there is an important function that it plays, but the difficulty is when it becomes a crippling fear or phobia, and you just can't live your life the way you want to.
Now, we've talked about spiders, but nearly a third of children across the United Kingdom are frightened of clowns.
Yes.
So what's this? I mean, we're just... Kaylee, clowns? Are you afraid of clowns?
Sometimes, yeah, they do freak me out a little bit.
Matt, clowns?
No, not really.
No. Yeah, is it all Stephen King's It? Is it that? Is that the fault, or is it just there's something scary about the white face and the incessant humour?
There is something rather weird about a grown-up dressed up as a clown with a great big wide smile, a la Joker, that sends confusing messages to children. And you have this great big thing, you know, a kid's party. They're all tiny. Got a wig, orange or green wig on, with a very sinister smile. And often looking quite sad. And I think it's the confusing body language and visual messages that can make them quite frightening. And then you look at how they're utilised in movie making. Often with some kind of cleaver in their hand.
Oh, well.
And sinister character. And so the whole thing comes together as something quite terrifying. And, you know, 33% of kids up and down the country said clowns are scary and have a phobia of them.
It's just... of course, I always like to think, as long as you've got Buzz Lightyear on the case or Woody, you'll be okay.
You exactly.
Know, Toy Story of Terror coming through on that basis.
But this is the thing, though, but the survey also revealed that 54% of parents believe Halloween is beneficial to desensitizing their children to scary things like ghosts and ghouls and the dark. So I think actually that's a clever way of injecting some fun. And that Toy Story of Terror, I've seen it. It's brilliant. You know, you have one of your favourite characters going through a couple of quite scary fears and phobias that she has. And it is a really good educational tool for parents to sit down with their children and look at it in a fun way and in a manageable way. And you can actually turn your children into superheroes watching something like that. So I actually think it's a really good tool.
I've always felt it's important to go to infinity and beyond.
Survive.
It's critical.
I'm there with you.
And in terms of the other sort of sequence, I did have a wry smile where we found that the parents in the East Midlands and West and East Anglia, and indeed the North West, about Yorkshire Humber as well, most afraid of death. Well, yes, I suppose they would be, probably.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing, you know.
Are you afraid of death?
Well, I don't, should we just see it as a passage into another generation of being? I don't know. I suppose ultimately that is where all things lead to. And as you said, the limbic mind, the brain, all that kind of fight or flight, adrenaline impulse, it's to keep us alive, really, isn't it?
It is to keep us alive. And, you know, and I think also, if you are a parent, I think wrapped up in that fear of death is what will happen to the children.
Hmm.
And worrying about, you know, when I'm gone, what's going to happen to them, type of thing. And it's actually a natural fear. But I don't mind it as long as it doesn't become a crippling fear and you do everything to avoid having an accident, getting, you know, worrying about getting into a car in case of. That's where people like me come in when, you know, it becomes such a crippling event that you've arranged your life to avoid it.
That's why you're the phobia expert on the CITV show Feel the Fear, Angela.
Yes.
Quite simply, you know, it's a critical point. Matt, any quick questions you want to put to Angela at this stage?
How would you like give advice to someone to like get over a fear?
Depends how strong the fear is and how long it's been going on. I mean, I think for a lot of kids, they have a learned response to fear. So if they see their parents or their best friend jumping when they see a spider, then they will learn that response. So the thing is, if you are a parent, to role model for your kids, not to be, you can't say don't be afraid of that while you're running screaming from the room. So you have to be in control of your own emotional set and say to your child, it's okay. And I think you can do the kind of exposure therapy, which is what we use a lot of. You know, if somebody's afraid of bees, for instance, you start off with read a book about bees, show a picture of bees, and very gradually introduce a bee in a sealed bottle and gradually make the child or the adult come slowly towards it until they can touch the bottle or go out into a garden with knowing that there are bees there. And that kind of systematic desensitization can help someone overcome fears. Now, you can either do that self-help, or if it's very chronic, you go to an expert like myself and we can help you with that.
And of course, worst case scenario, you've always got treatment for anaphylactic shock, but that's a different line entirely.
I know. Didn't help, Jasper.
You're quite right.
There is a shot for it.
Yes,
but exactly. That's okay.
Exactly. Precisely. Angela, it's been fantastic just sharing a few thoughts with yourself on this topic. A reminder, actually, for the good news that the Toy Story of Fear, or sorry, Toy Story of Terror. Let's get the acronyms right there, or the alliteration right. Toy Story of Terror, brand new TV special from Disney Pixar, premieres on Sky Movies Disney this Sunday, the 27th of October, and that's on demand, of course, as well from today, 25th of October. We've got two final questions for your good self, Angela. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting and not too scary or frightening telephonic link with us on the show this morning?
Oh, it's been amazing.
Oh, well, so the next critical question is, can we possibly look forward to maybe featuring you again to talk about phobias and more, or other aspects as well?
I'd be more than happy to. You've been amazing.
A round of applause for Dr. Angela Michanda. Wonderful, fantastic show. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Welcome to
So if you've just tuned in to Satire Broadcasting on Channel 1 for Hospedia, you've missed Mark Jones, the Managing Director of Mecha Bingo, and our body language and relationships expert Tracy Cox. You've also missed Dr. Angela Mutander, I should say, talking about Toy's Story of Terror, and what our top fears are, or how to cope with those fears, and so on and so forth. I see you've missed them. Of course, you can always catch them up again. How can they catch them up again? Kaylee.
On Southside Podbean.
Southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Yep. Exactly, and they'll be up there again very shortly. Much as people can actually go there and actually, if they're at a loose few hours, they want to actually download several hours' worth of Alan Stevens' contributions, they can do that as well by simply typing in the name Alan Stevens, and then magic things will come up. But I believe the man is actually live now. Are you there? Are you alive, Alan?
Am I alive?
Yes.
That's an interesting question.
I thought so, because given that most adults apparently fear death in the recent survey we've actually said, I just wanted to check that you are actually alive and functioning.
Actually, are you alive? It was a catchphrase in Battlestar Galactica, wasn't it? Are you alive? You take a hit and probably break a neck. Oh, well.
Precisely. And that's one of the key areas why he is a Battlestar Galactica co-author. By your command. But yes, life, it's an odd routine, as long as our citric acid cycle, or Krebs citric acid cycle, is continuing. Is it? No, it's not a citric acid cycle, it's obviously fruit juice. Krebs acid cycle. Why we started talking about biochemistry this time of day, I don't know, Alan. It's probably because I'm using diversionary tactics to actually prevent the fact that when you ask the question, have you downloaded another episode of Radio B as yet? I'll say, no, I haven't had the time, and you'll say, but you can do it now, it's only 1p, and I'll say, but it's, and so on and so forth.
Too lazy, too badly organized.
Yeah,
it's costing me money. 70, well, actually, it cost me 1p.
Exactly. I tell you what, let's try.
Give it away to you. What's wrong with you, man?
Let's try and actually sort of open up and treble that audience by actually persuading and convincing the two studio guests today, both from the University of Teesside. They could also spread the word amongst fellow students.
Yeah, they'd like it.
I think they would, actually.
Student thing.
Yeah. I mean, Kaylee, have you heard Radio B before?
No.
No. No. Well, you see, that's
I didn't want to admit that.
And Matthew, no, it's actually Radio Bastard, but we only say that usually once in a particular thing.
Only once?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got away with it a number of times yesterday. I say got away with it. I mean, it's...
Well, it's a title, isn't it?
It is true. That's right, because as you rightly said, it's the local radio station for a little part of the country, which is entitled... Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you took that link so well, Alan. It's just.
Oh, I wasn't sure. If you said I was going to say it once, I know. I wasn't really quite sure. I thought I was going to get arrested by the, the radio police or whatever they are.
Matthew Bird, are you a Doctor Who fan?
No, I'm not, but my little sister loves it.
Your little sister loves it.
Yeah.
She'll be delighted that I'm holding in my hands the December 2013 edition of Doctor Who, celebrating 50 years of adventures in space and time. 9 missing episodes found. In the end, Alan, I went for the cover, which actually has the Yeti on the front, as opposed to Patrick Troughton, the enemy of the world.
You bought a couple of Doctor Who magazines, haven't you?
Yes. Exactly. I know, and you might well say you managed to find time to do that, and yet to
manage to find time to choose which cover you're going to get.
Exactly.
And justify it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is it. You know, this is the whole scenario from that point of view. But I don't know, Kaylee. Were you familiar did you even know that there were episodes of Doctor Who that were missing?
No. I don't care what with Doctor Who. Not a fan of it at all.
Not at all.
No.
At all. Right.
I think I watched about one. Thing of it, and I just didn't like it at all.
What's a thing of it?
When did you
see it?
One show.
When?
Yeah. Oh, it was years ago with my auntie. I can't even remember what it was about.
Well, how many years ago? 2 years ago? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? 50 years ago? How far are we going back here?
Exactly. You know, it's a crucial point. Was it in a past life, a past existence?
Yeah. Where? When? Seriously?
I don't know.
In the 80s?
Oh no.
90s? Did you watch it in the 90s?
No,
I think... No, it was on then. Did you watch it in 2000 then?
Huh?
Was David Tennant in it?
Yes.
Ah, right, so we're narrowing it down.
Yeah, very much so, Alan. This is...
Was Billy Piper in it?
No.
Oh, was it a black actress called...
Freema
Agarman?
I saw that one as well, one with her in, yeah.
Ah, right.
So maybe I've watched more than
one. We've narrowed it down to about 16 episodes, haven't we?
Exactly, yeah.
So what happened in the episode?
I can't remember. Honestly, can't remember.
But was there stone statues in it?
I don't know.
Were there Daleks in it?
Yes.
There were Daleks in it. That's Daleks and Manhattan.
Well, I saw them before.
You saw Daleks and Manhattan. That's a terrible story. No wonder you didn't like it.
You see, Kaylee, this is what you call using that psychoanalytic approach, mm-hmm. or tough love, to actually get you to actually appreciate the wonder of the Doctor. There you go. Matt, would you like to go through a similar sort of routine, or would you like to talk would you like to talk about Radio B and what Alan's been doing with that and his latest sort of attempts? I'll have a look in the system, which we've got here, and see if we still, under the speech area, actually have got any of the key things that maybe might give you a little smidgen of success. We've got Major Pettigrew's Last Stand. Ah! We could give a little smidgen of episode one, Alan. Do you think that would be useful to go give a little heads up?
Yeah, go for it.
It's alright, okay. It's a little smidgen.
There's no swearing in it, is there?
No, well.
At the end.
Exactly. So we'll just have a couple of minutes to kind of set the scene and convince both Matt and Kaylee that the thing they should be doing on their portable devices, do you have those smartphone things?
Yeah.
Is to download episodes of this for, you know, literally, I mean, just 1p today.
Good morning, this is Radio Bastard. Chief Receptionist Priscilla Woodlouse speaking. You have a message for who? John McCrae? I'll have to write this down. Okay, how do you spell microcephalic? Sorry? Where would you like him to shove it? Ooh, nasty. Okay, I'll see he gets the message straight away. Bye. Good morning, Miss Hailstones.
Morning, Priscilla. Another complaint?
Mr. McCrae's programme yesterday on the urgent need to bring back badger gassing has certainly divided opinions, ma'am.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning, Mr. McCrae.
And what a glorious one it is. Just the morning for a quick little pat on the bottom, eh, Sandra? You're looking lovely as always.
Oh! Whatever you say, John.
I've got another message about yesterday's show for you, Mr. McCrae.
Is it offensive?
Depends on how broad-minded you are.
Well, file it in the usual receptacle, then. Anyway, I can't stand around here all morning oozing charm. There's work to be done. See you all later.
Looking forward to it, John. Sexist creep.
So the rumours aren't true, then?
No, they certainly are not.
So who are you having an affair with?
I am not having an affair with anyone. Oh, God, it's that work experience girl. Quick, what's her name? I can never remember it.
It's Zoe Thomas, Miss Hailstones.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, good morning, Zoe. Feeling better today?
Yes, thank you, Miss Hailstones. It was just a touch of hay fever, that's all.
Well, don't just stand there. If you go through to my office, you'll find some notes on my desk. A fruit and vegetable van's been stolen. Chase it up for me, would you?
I'll see to it at once, Miss Hailstones.
Silly girl. Work experience, my arse. Oh, damn. Is that the time? I've got the 9 a.m. news to do. See you later.
Hang on, I've got a message for you too.
For me? Well, give it here. I think Sandra Hailstones is a cheap little
tough. Yes, well, I think that's probably quite enough of that.
That was the best bit coming up.
Well, you know, that's why we can't give it away cheaply, Alan.
No.
You know,
I was enjoying that.
Yeah, well, let's find it. Kaylee, what did you make of that? Did you think?
Oh, I was enjoying that. Yeah,
that's how I should have answered the phone to those people from Taylor Herring PR Associates this morning. When I was trying to put them through on the phone from Studio 1B.
I don't think that'd have gone down well.
You don't think so?
No.
It was based on my experience doing work experience. So it actually is something you should hit listen to because you'll get an idea of what you're going to have to put up with in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent off to this local radio station and. They were quite incredible. In fact, the fruit and veg van actually comes directly from that. Some fruit and veg van had been stolen at the time, and they were going off to report on it, and it was continuous fruit and veg vans gone this. And this. It was hilarious. If you're looking outside in, when you're in there, it was actually like some horrible trap for 5 days.
So much when you sent that email saying, please take me for work placement. Is this the sort of thing you were expecting?
Excellent.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. What did you want to do career-wise? Because you're coming into your third year of a journalism course at the University of Teesside. What's your kind of ambition, or where do you want to go?
I'm not like 100% sure, but maybe something to do with like the technical side of radio.
The technical side of radio.
Like, more of the sound and stuff.
The sound and stuff. Right.
Because I did quite a lot of that in college, using like Myriad and stuff, doing live broadcasts.
So why a degree in journalism as opposed to audio production?
When I left college, I wanted to do more journalism stuff.
Right.
But now I've done 3 years of it.
Had enough.
Yeah.
Nice line. Jason, any questions you want to put to Alan Cayley about how people can subscribe to this thing? Peter Miles, Jane Leslie, Alistair Locke, Tracy Russell, Robert Barringer Locke, Penny, Scott Andrews, Andy Cresswell, Patricia Merrick, and Paul Darren, Trevor Cooper, none of whom I think I can safely say you've ever heard of.
The list goes on.
Yes.
But any questions you'd like to put to Alan?
I have
heard of, because you've spoken to him before.
I was thinking that. I told a little fib earlier. I have heard of Radio B.
Yeah.
I actually have. Yeah, we spoke before.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think you asked me about Doctor Who that.
Kayleigh's short-term memory is a bit like the goldfish in Finding Nemo.
I do have a really bad one.
She likes alcohol, you see.
Well, I think it's either that or indeed she is a living Finding Nemo character. It's fantastic. Genius. Anyway, that's how I sort of reinforce the system. Anyway, carry on, Kayleigh. It's your interview.
Yes, I want an incisive question, and I want it now.
I don't have any questions.
Oh,
but
no!
Can you just repeat the website for me, because I might actually have a look at that, please.
KaldorCity.com.
Sorry?
Kaldor, KALDOR.
Okay.
CITY, so that's KALDOR, KALDORCITY.
Yep.
.com. Go there, and you can go and download it. It's only 72p an episode. Episode 4, I think, is just for 1p. There's 6 episodes so far.
You can pay
more,
of course. I mean, you say it's 1p. I mean, if you wanted to actually put in £100,000, you could actually
fantastic.
Do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think, Kayleigh, do that.
Okay, thank you.
She's from Sunderland. She's a rich girl. So
yeah, they're all rich then,
there. Exactly. Yeah, so we know that in every sense of the word. So in Private Eye this week, we noticed that there are 7 pages in the Daily Mirror that were devoted to the Pride of Britain Awards, where the celebrities were happy to be outshone by the ordinary men, women and children who embody just what makes our nation great. In the number of photographs taken of the event, of which there were 57, there were only 3 who did not feature a celebrity. Message there, I think. Yeah. Do you see yourself as a celebrity, Matt?
Do I see myself as a celebrity?
Yes.
A celebrity Matt?
Yes.
What's that?
A celebrity Matt Bird. Are you related to John Bird, in fact?
No, my dad's called John, though, but it's not John Bird.
Not the John Bird. No. Right. Just an interesting thing, because you never know. And, Kayleigh Carr, of course, is related to the Kayleigh Carr. Yes, she is Kayleigh Carr. Anyway, anything else you'd like to raise, Alan, at this particular moment in time about life, the universe, Doctor Who, or indeed Battlestar Galactica?
Yes, there is. Something very, very important to all Doctor Who fans out there. Mm. Today, tickets are available, cinema tickets, for the 23rd of November. On the 23rd of November, Doctor Who is being... It's the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who story is being shown, which is a story of the Daleks in... David Tennant, Matt Smith, 2 Doctors. I think what's the name in it as well? Isn't she Rose Tyler or
she
anyway,
is?
Anyway, and the Daleks and the Zygons, and it's all in 3D. And as it's being shown in Britain, it's also being shown simultaneously on a number of other television channels all around the world, including Germany, and in all the cinemas or many cinemas around Britain in 3D cinemas. So apparently, I heard today that they have all sold out. It only opened at 9 o'clock, tickets. They all sold out by 11 in London, in central London. And luckily, Fiona and I were able to get 3 tickets for Staines Cinema. So, Alex, if you want to see Doctor Who on the big screen, or anyone wants to see Doctor Who on the big screen, in 3D...
Do we make a bid?
Sorry?
Do we make a bid? Do we
actually 3D? You're going to have to pay me lots of money if you want to buy my tickets.
Exactly. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I am actually down in London chairing a debate at the Royal Television Society on November the 20th, 3 days beforehand.
That's useless, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is, but I'm sharing the panel with Nick Ross about ageism in the media. So there we are. I don't know why they chose me. I mean, as if I'm getting old, I'm becoming more chronologically gifted. It's ridiculous, you know. Honestly, where are we going here? Oh, fair enough. British bulldog spirit apparently is being lost. We're going to be speaking to Karen Wilde, pet behaviourist, and John Ellinger from More Than Pet Insurance about a recent survey which suggests that the Cavalier King Charles should actually replace the bulldog as the UK's national animal. A new study released today by More Than Pet Insurance shows that two-thirds of Britons now think that the bulldog is the wrong mascot for the nation. The 4,000 British adults who were surveyed suggested that the most common characteristics of Great Britain today are in the 10th place, being indecisive. Kayleigh, are you indecisive? Don't know. No, don't just say
don't know.
Yeah, exactly. number 9, lazy. We do enough to get by, Matt.
Yeah, I'm pretty lazy.
Oh, dear. Yeah. 8, serious. That's a characteristic of Britain. 36% considered we're serious. 7, considered. 6, outspoken. 5, relaxed and laid back. 4th place was curious and inquisitive, bordering on the nosy. 3rdly, being strong-willed. 2nd, being polite. And 1st, apologetic. And apparently that is the number 1 characteristic of being Britain. We're sorry. We're just sorry. And that's why the King Charles should replace the bulldog as the UK's.
That dog's always apologising.
Yeah, well, always. I mean, it bumps into Zuka and Aisha, and who knows what's happening. Speaking of which, Zukov and Aisha, how are the cats?
How are the cats? Mm. Oh, they are doing very well indeed. In fact, they were running around like a couple of lunatics yesterday. Mm. Oh, sorry, this morning. Mm.
Were they running around like a couple of King Charles spaniels then?
Were they running around? Well, no. I mean, King Charles Spaniel.
No, no.
Have I?
Cavalier King Charleses.
Oh, what?
Cavalier King Charleses. The Spaniels. I've got long ears.
Well, what happened this morning was that Zukov charged down the stairs and was met by a hiss from Aisha. So he then galloped up the stairs, saw me, bounced back down the stairs, got another hiss, vanished into the dining room. Aisha then shut up the stairs and went to the bathroom. It's all at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I opened the window, she perched on the edge, and Zukov cannoned in, climbed into the bath. Aisha growled at Zukov, jumped out onto the shed roof. I then, diplomatically, closed the window and returned to bed. When I switched the light out, I heard Zukov muttering to himself as he clambered down the stairs and ate with a cat flap. Returned an hour later, vigorously humped my left arm and then fell asleep.
Yeah. Enough information. I think we'll save it, because otherwise we'll be back in terms of what makes people happy once again. And bingo can be higher. Maybe you should start playing bingo. Last two questions for Alan Stevens, please. Kayleigh Carr.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here at Southside today?
Yeah, it was great. I really liked it. And I'm pleased that all of you are going to buy Radio Bastard on download. And, of course, I will know whether you've bought it or not,
yes,
because your names come up. So if you don't, there will be trouble.
And are you going to connect again with us in the near future?
Yes, but how I will connect again and whether I've been in a good mood all depends on how much has been downloaded off my site.
Here's John Denver.
How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life Aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.
I spend my time just thinking about you. Every single day, guess I'm really missing you. And all those things we used to do.
Go any further than this. I want you so bad, my only.
So- So we've been talking so far this morning about characteristics, national characteristics and so on, and do we have that British bulldog spirit? That's the key line that we've been working through, or are we indeed more like the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel? To address this and more, and to really sort of get to the nub of the whole thing, two wonderful fine folk. First of all, pet behaviourist extraordinaire, the legend that is Karen Wiles. Good morning, Karen, are you there?
Good morning.
Excellent. And, of course, from More Than Pet Insurance, the fabulous John Ellinger. Are you there, John?
I am indeed, yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so working through that, I can see number 10 being indecisive, a survey of 4,000 British adults carried out. These are characteristics of Great Britain today. But right at the top there, well, we're just so sorry. We are very sorry, and sorry again. Is that why the Cavalier King Charles should replace the Bulldog? I wasn't aware that King Charles Spaniels actually were particularly apologetic.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And I don't think there's any one trait that would identify any attitude or any dog breed anyway, but this is something that when asked, you know, put forward, do you think the Cavalier King Charles does represent, you know, the British attitude today? 67% agreed with that. So I wouldn't say that any breed could be categorised like that, but I do think that the respondents have identified certain traits as what they feel represents the nation today. So it's quite interesting. There were other things on the results, things like being polite, but also being strong-willed, inquisitive and bordering on the nosy, and outspoken. So we're not talking about quite as laid-back as perhaps we might be making out here.
Which is important. I mean, I particularly put a vote in for the Border Collie, personally, because I think the Border Collie is a much misunderstood and has all of those characteristics in lines and doesn't have the floppy ears, but that's by the by. You know.
I think it's a good point. I think, you know, collies can make terrific dogs, and there's no suggestion, I think, in any of this that any one breed should be almost better than another, because you have such a wide variation within breeds. For every example of a Border Collie that someone might find is laid back, perhaps, you know, there will be so many other examples of Border Collies that are no, they're really busy, they're really working strong dogs, you know, very, very you know, active. So I think it's the important message behind this, although this is really interesting and saying, you know, what do we think is our national dog, is to take on board the fact that every dog is so different, and when we are choosing a pet, we have to be very careful to match that to our lifestyle.
Absolutely. And remember, of course, particularly this time, that a pet is for life, not just for a wee number of months, etc. Which brings us around to John. I mean, part of the serious aspect of this survey was to help raise awareness of the importance of matching the right owners with the right dogs. I was astounded to find that over the last year, over 100,000 dogs were actually abandoned, which is not good for anybody, least of only the dogs, and indeed the karma of the owners.
Well, absolutely. And you know, that 100,000 is potentially an understatement. You know, there will be different situations which don't go into the records. And really what we're trying to do is to encourage, you know, responsible ownership from the point of choosing the breed of dog or the dog or the specific puppy or rehomed pet to make sure that it is going to suit, you know, an individual's lifestyle. It's joining the family, but researching it to a level that you understand that it's, you know, what it needs in terms of environment, what it needs in terms of companionship, what the likely expenses are going to be over the lifetime of, you know, of the pet or your time together. So, you know, that's what we're really trying to encourage with this research. That's the serious message underneath it all, I suppose.
Indeed. In the studio, we've got two fine folk from the University of Teesside, effectively. Kaylee Carr, a journalism student. Kaylee, you have a little dog, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And would you say, well, what's its breed?
It's a Shih Tzu, cross between a Yorkshire Terrier. Yeah.
You see, I can't see somehow anybody ever saying that a Shih Tzu crossed with a Yorkshire Terrier could actually represent the British character. Karen, you might like to contradict me on that. It's just a thought.
I mean, I have crossbreeds myself, and I don't have any objection to any dog, as long as it's not only behaviourally healthy and the suited temperament, but also physically healthy. Now, there's no guarantee that a dog you're getting, no matter what they are, is going to be healthy. It's a case of making a wise choice in terms of seeing all of the family around that dog in terms of their both parents and all of their relations as well. So you've got auntie dogs, uncle dogs, you know, grandparents, so that you've got a fairly clear picture, because it's quite hard to determine from a puppy how they're going to grow up.
We're doing research at the University of Lincoln in terms of how dogs actually relate to their owners, and I was fascinated to see, Karen, that obviously as part of your role as guest lecturer at Anglia Ruskin University on animal behaviour and welfare, you're particularly interested in terms of bite prevention for children, which is always important, because, I mean, that is that another reason why people think bulldogs a bit like, you know, the other scary dogs? They are a bit frightening, and you think, well, we don't necessarily want to have that. We want to have a dog that's more friendly.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think bulldogs can make terrific pets, you know, and again, making sure that you've done all the health checks, making sure you've done all the behavioural checks, there's no reason why any dog couldn't make a good pet. And being aware that, you know, the mix between children and dogs is an important one, but it's also an opportunity for risk. And I don't think we should ever dictate that any breed is more risky than another. I think the important thing is to look at, you know, what these interactions are like. And, you know, children, as we know, they do find it sometimes quite hard to read any potential warning signals in dogs, and that's why we always counsel parents to make sure that they are incredibly vigilant, even if they completely feel that they could trust their dog with themselves. We don't 100% know that the children are always going to act appropriately around the dog, or vice versa, that the dog's going to do the same thing.
On a slightly more frivolous note, I have to say, it does seem to put the kibosh, John, on another insurance company who shall remain nameless, who obviously sort of very much actually identify with this particular British bulldog. I won't, obviously, no names, no routines on that, but I just thought that could be the end for that completely now. They'll have to completely revamp their whole advertising campaign.
Well, possibly.
At least with more than, you say, you know, you've worked through that in all sorts of ways, etc. Just briefly, obviously, having insurance for your pet, it is important, and presumably you would also endorse the fact that, you know, from that line, that it, not just stray dogs, but dogs do go missing, they do vanish, they do get lost, etc. And obviously there's health care and all the other factors actually there, and it's important to obviously make sure that insurance is there as well.
Well, we believe so. You know, it's there are, I mean, insurance is there for the unexpected events that happen. You know, in terms of health and treatments, etc., vets are continually developing, you know, new treatments that they can do for conditions. You know, and the costs can very quickly mount up with some of the work that they can actually do now. And so it's really just making sure that, you know, if you've got insurance, the decision on the treatment that you might want to give to your pet is not based on a cost factor, it's based on what's best for the pet. And that's really why we would encourage people to look at pet insurance.
I was amazed by the Tail Waggers Club of Great Britain last week at Countryside Live, Karen, and I often thought, how wonderful that the way those dogs can actually control their human owners with such skill. It's fantastic. It's a whole new world.
Well, it's a great relationship. If you get it right, dogs can be amazing companions. If you get it wrong, it can lead to a lot of heartache, and that's why it's so important that we really take our time when we do decide, even if we are going to have a dog joining our family, that we make an appropriate choice, not only for ourselves, but also for the dog too, because it's their welfare at stake as well.
I've got another student in the studio, Matthew Bird, also a journalism student. Matthew, any quick questions from yourself?
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could ask Karen a question about, do you work with people who are like scared of dogs? Do you help like get them over the fears or...
I don't in specific terms, no, but I have worked with a number of children that have been quite nervous around dogs. Now, the important thing is not to encourage them or force them to do anything specific. You'd really need a specialist, probably a psychologist of some sort, to help you with that. However, I think it's important to teach children to respect the specific boundaries. And what a child might see as being loving is not always what a dog might see as loving. And a bit of healthy respect, hopefully not bordering on fear, but healthy respect from any child to any dog is really important, particularly if the child has their own dog at home that is fairly tolerant, but they're perhaps meeting other dogs outside. That same child might consider all dogs to be just as tolerant, and we know, you know, from statistics that's obviously not the case. So it's important to make sure that, you know, you always supervise children with dogs no matter what.
You've provided, as ever, a fascinating insight into the world of behaviourism and pets in particular. We've got two final questions for you. Let's go to John first. John Ellinger from More Than Pet Insurance. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Indeed I have, yes. Been most enjoyable, right. Thank you.
And Karen, has it been okay for yourself?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for that.
The next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you both again with us, hopefully in the not-too-distant future?
We'd love to. Anything to get a good message out about dog ownership is well worth the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think we're one of the few stations that actually has its own terrier team, one of whom is actually likely to be taking place in Scruffs this year. So,
fantastic.
Very Brilliant. Important that we flag that up. Karen Wild, pet behaviourist extraordinaire, and indeed John Ellinger from More Than Pet Insurance. Many thanks indeed. Cheers now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.